God in just a minute, and it's just time to get excited because we know when we come in the presence of God, He fills us up. It is His desire to just give us His very best. And in order to attain His very best, we've got to live according to His word. We've got to live according to His truths. So why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God in King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to You now knowing our hearts are in line, Lord, with Your truths. Knowing that, Father, it is Your very words that can give us life. And as we embrace Your words, as we say, Lord, come, we welcome You, Lord. We want more of You. I pray we will truly decrease so that You may increase in every way. So, Father, we just pray as our minds, our souls, our spirits are quieted in the presence of our Lord God and King. I pray You will do an overflowing and overfilling of Your presence, of Your wisdom upon us right now, because we love You, Lord, and we praise Your most holy name. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, if you don't have notes, by the way, you can raise your hand and we'll get notes in your hands. All right, everyone got notes. Awesome. Well, the title of my sermon today is Backbone Required for Standing. Backbone Required for Standing. Can someone tell me what a backbone is? It's your spinal column, right? Your spinal cord. And if you were to take out your spinal cord, what would happen to you? You would die, right? You would go, one thing, because we need that spinal cord. To what? To stand. I gotta tell you, currently, my family and I were receiving chiropractic care. And basically, this involves a practice of manipulating your spinal cord because, you know, we have what are called vertebrae, right? Little bones in the back that basically gives us life. And what the chiropractor does is he aligns it so that you can have general, overall good health. And I got to tell you, I was a little nervous when I started going to him because I'm thinking, what is this all about? And then he explained to me what subluxation is. And basically, what he told me is then you have subluxation, which means your spinal cord is misaligned. And it is his job to what? Align it, to make it straight, because maybe it's a little bit crooked here, and it's not exactly how it should be. So my job, he says, is to align it. And I'm going to tell you, in this treatment, if you've ever been to a chiropractor, you hear a lot of snapping, popping, cracking. And when I heard that, I was going, I was getting more than just a little nervous now, but you know what? It's just like almost Rice Krispies, you know? Snap, crackle, pop. But you know, after the treatment, I remember I felt lighter. I felt renewed. And this kind of made me think, you know, the chiropractor's goal is to make your spinal cord physically aligned, right? In a straight line. But if we're talking spiritually, in order to stand strong for the things of God, it's not about straightening your backbone. It's about having one. Because sometimes I gotta tell you, our spinal cord, our backbone may be MIA, missing in action. Because sometimes God calls us to take a stand, but we're afraid. We're thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Well, maybe the other guy. But you know what? God says, take a stand for me, and you will see who I truly am. And we're going to find out in today's sermon that truly a backbone is required for standing. For God, that is. And, you know, standing up for what we believe, it's not always an easy thing to do, right? There's a price to be paid sometimes when we got to take a stand for God. And sometimes you may face rejection. You may face humiliation. Or sometimes you may lose something, or you may lose someone you love and hold dear. And as a result, many good men and women would not rather stand up to begin with. They say, I don't want to face the crowd. I don't want to face people jeering at me. Well, let me tell you about this man. His name is Henry Ward Beecher. And he's a very famous preacher. And when he was a boy, it was said that he had a teacher in his school. And this teacher asked his classmate a question. And the boy, he answered the question, and his teacher, though, became visibly upset with his answer, and the teacher cried angrily, "You sit down!" And the frightened boy, he was like, "Huh?" He said, "Okay." So he just sat down. And you know, several other boys were asked the same question, and they gave the same answer. And promptly became confused when the teacher voiced his unexplained disapproval. And they going, what? We thought this was the answer. And finally, Beecher was called upon, and he gave the same answer as all the other boys did. But you know what the teacher said? Sit down, roared the teacher. But Beecher, he didn't sit down. He held his ground. He stood strong, and he insisted, no, teacher, my answer is correct. And for a few minutes, the teacher just growled at him. You ever have anyone growl at you? But after a few moments, the teacher kind of smiled, and he says, boy, you are all correct, but Beecher was the only one sure enough to stand up for it. And you kind of think about it. It's so much easier sometimes just to hide in the bushes until the storm passes. You know, but Beecher says, no, I know this is right. I know this is what the answer is. I'm standing firm. And sometimes God, he says, stand firm. Because child, you're not the only one that's standing alone. You are empowered by my presence. Because you know what? It just seems like it's more safer not to be seen or heard when everyone is confused and scared. Everyone may be saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. What are you going to do? Jump in the bushes and just let your knees just shake away? Or you stand firm and realize your God is greater. Because you know what? When we allow ourselves to let our fear get the best of us, guess what? God may be trying to accomplish something great in you, but your fear has paralyzed you. And you know, that's exactly what Abraham did. He was faced with an opportunity to stand up for what he knew was right. But he realized that if he did, his life was going to get really uncomfortable. Where? At home. Now, I got to tell you, I remember I was in a men's group in my early 20s, and there was this one young guy, but he wasn't that young. He was in his 30s, and he was married, and he was, guess what, complaining about his wife. And one thing about our men's group, we kind of discourage that. I say, it's not about complaining about your wife. We're here to support one another and encourage each other. And, you know, we go to God in prayer. But he basically told the group that it was very hard for a man to get his way in marriage. And he says, yeah, I never get my way. My wife always gets her way. And he was going on and on about this. How many believe that's true? Right, guys, don't raise your hand. It's not a wise thing to do. Especially your wife is sitting. My wife is right here, so I better be careful what I say. But you know, the group leader kind of smiled. He hesitated and says, listen, brothers, you want a happy life? You got to have what? A happy wife. That's wisdom, man. I got to tell you. But yeah, I got to tell you, one woman related that at a family gathering. Some of the husbands began teasing their wives about how the women always seemed to get their way in the marriages. And responding to the teasing, one woman says to the husband, honey, when I get my way, that's a compromise. It's an agreement. And smiling, he asked, so what is it when I get my way then? She smiled back and she replied, that's called a miracle. And you realize, I know sometimes guys go, yeah, that's true. But first thing I want you to know, this sermon is not about a husband and wife's relationship. I'm not here to preach about that today because, you know, there are proper ways to respond, right? I mean, you have a disagreement between your spouse. That's another sermon that I'll talk about later today because probably it'll take 2 hours. But no. But today we're going to be talking about the spiritual backbone that every believer must have, that it must be present in your body. It must be strengthened with the Word of God. Because you know what? When the situation calls you to take a stand for God, if your spine is fully filled with the Word of God, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you take a stand. Say, yes, Lord, I'm here to take a stand for you. Well, look at your notes here. Here's the question. What are the order of events which caused Abraham to lose and find his backbone? So we're going to take a closer look at Abraham's backbone today. Well, look what it says here in Roman numeral 1. It says here, just the day before Abraham had heard, God promised him that he would have a son from his own body. You got to realize he's an old man. He's in his 90s. And look what it says here in Genesis 15. It says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram. This is before he became Abraham. He spoke to Abram in a vision. He said to him, don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, God says, and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all of my wealth. And that's how it usually was done. If there's no children, a servant would get it all. And says, you have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. And this in your notes here, verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram, what does it say there? He believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And I want you to understand, when it says that Abram believed, it's just like he says, hey, I got a backbone. I know what my father God says he will do, it will come to pass. He knew what God had in mind for his life. But here's the thing. Once he got home and he tried to explain this to his wife, Sarah, he found that she was not as excited as he was. She's been waiting way too long for a baby to come. And she's not going to wait anymore. She wants a baby now. Right now. And, you know, have you ever heard of the phrase, if mama ain't happy, what?
Ain't nobody happy.
Well, that's the way things were beginning to look like they were going to be in Abraham's home. And Sarah was not happy, and she was going to let out all the steam on Abraham. And you know what she tells her husband to do? She says, go in my servant's tent, and you will conceive a child through her. What wife in the right mind would tell the husband, oh, go and sleep with this other woman? Wow. You got to understand, her comment reveals that she had decided to take charge of the situation. Look what it says there in Genesis 16. It's in your notes. It says, now Sarai, this is before she becomes Sarah, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave, perhaps. I want you to really focus on that word I, because look what it says in parentheses. Not we, not God and you and I, but what? I can build a family through her. Wait a minute, isn't it usually when you build a family, it's between you and your husband? It's the family, right? But she says, so that I can build a family through her. You can see she was focused on who?
Herself.
And if, I got to tell you, the Lord has revealed something to you that you know is deep within your heart, I got to tell you, you got to do it no matter what the cost. And I'm sure Abraham knew that, hey, this is not the way to go. But we're going to find out, hey, he did do what his wife requested. But sometimes we got to say, no, that's not right. Because sometimes we may say, you know what? Oh, that person is strong with the Lord. That person is holy. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, I know it's not right. But you say, oh, I'm just going to do it anyway. Even though you know God has just spoken to you. You know what? You got to go to the Lord. Go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what shall I do? And you know, sometimes the Lord has already spoken into your heart. So you know what you got to do. Why are you hesitating? So sometimes what I'm trying to tell you all, We got to let the Holy Spirit just show it in our heart. And as you grasp it as the truth, you move with it. Amen? Don't let anyone influence you. You know this is truly the Holy Spirit of God. Because you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, don't you? The Bible says, yes. If you don't know the voice of God, you have to question, do you really know God? Because I got to tell you, we know missionary families that have gone overseas to places like Japan, Thailand, China, and Brazil, just to name a few. And you know, their calling was so strong. I mean, when they were sharing with us, this is what God's going to call us to do. You can see the excitement. You can see just how their spirit is so alive, ready and willing to go wherever God's called them to go. And you know, they tell us. They tell you the truth. You know, our family members, they're upset at us. It could be parents or siblings or, you know, other friends. And they're trying to discourage them to go on this mission that God has strongly put in their heart. And guess what? They went ahead anyway. And I can tell you, there was this missionary family just came back after 4 years. They're in Thailand. And basically, their mission, their calling was to rescue young children, boys and girls now, that were being trafficked. I mean, sexually and being abused. And they were there to rescue them. And they showed them the word of God. They preached to them the word that gives them life. And I got to tell you, they showed us pictures and, wow, testimonies where these kids, they're so alive in Christ now. But you know what? So many of their family members saying, you know what? If you go, consider yourself no longer part of the family. I mean, we heard cases like that where even the parents said, you go, you're no longer our son. You're no longer our daughter. Wow. And you know, I got to tell you though, in those cases, the one that did go, they came back. And you know what? The family saw the fruit that was being born. They realized they were there for a purpose that was directly given by God. Because they knew that they were doing great and mighty things, all in the name of Jesus. And they knew that truly, Spirit of God was alive in them. And yet they never disowned them. They embraced him when they came home and they said, thank God you went. And I want to tell you, sometimes when God speaks something into your heart, move forward. Yeah, brothers and sisters may tell you, oh, don't go or do this instead. But you know what? Ultimately, it's between you and God. I got to tell you. Because sometimes, you know, other brothers and sisters, they mean well. But this has to be between you and God. Amen? Amen. Amen? Look what it says here in Luke 14:26. It says, if you want to be my disciple, Jesus says, oh, look at that. It says, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and your mother, your wife and your children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. This is what Jesus says to us. And, you know, some people may say, what? Jesus is telling us to hate my mom and dad? Or hate my family? No. Basically, what he's saying is that your devotion is so strong. Your love for God is so huge, so immense. By comparison, it could seem like you're hating them. Because you know why? It's showing that you choose God first. Yeah. You always put him first. Because you know what? If you trust him that much, you know God's going to take care of everything, even your relationships with your family. Because if you're doing it for God, God's not just going to leave you hanging where you're just going to have more hatred or your family will have hatred. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to fill your relationships with more love. If you choose to do it his way, even if your family doesn't understand, the Lord will help them to understand. Amen?
Amen.
And you've got to move in the Spirit of God, and God will get you far. Well, look at Roman numeral 2. It says, Abraham's problem was that he believed that if he were just to keep his mouth shut, this whole thing would just take care of itself. And isn't it true sometimes we think, okay, if I just don't do anything, it'll just blow over. Well, let me tell you, sometimes when we just don't do anything, you know, sometimes, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. Sometimes we must take action. We need to say what needs to be said. And we say it in love, we say it in the Spirit of God, God will guide your words. He will show you what exactly you need to say. Because, you know, because this is what Abraham probably thought. He said, if I don't say a word, hey, my wife will be happy. And sometimes, you know, for men, we want, like I said earlier, a happy life. So, but here's the thing, we're willing to compromise. Even though we know something is wrong, we let it go. But God, who did he call to be the spiritual head of the household? The man. This is in the scripture. And so sometimes we need to speak out. We got to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And we speak it in love. We speak it in tenderness. We show them that this is truly a leading from God. And, you know, in Abraham, he's probably thinking, okay, I'll just make my wife happy. And he's probably thinking, okay, so what? We'll have another child, you know, with this servant girl. But you know what? We're going to have another child in addition to the son that God had promised. And he knew he was a rich man. He had a lot of wealth. And he's probably thinking, okay, I can't afford this. But it's okay. I'm going to let it slide. We're going to make a compromise. It's okay. I'm going to do as my wife tells me. Sometimes we got to know if it's wrong, we got to take a stand. Amen. You go to the Word of God and you realize it's wrong. It's not according to his Word. You say, Lord, give me the strength to do what is right. Because probably Abraham was thinking, oh, everything will just work out. You know, if I just keep my head low and my mouth shut, everything will be fine and dandy. And basically, Abraham had grown a wishbone where his backbone should have been. Just imagine, instead of having a backbone, a spinal column, there's a wishbone there. Will that help you in any way? No, just that wishbone is there. Oh, you know what? People can pull on it and say, I wish you would do this. Yes, dear. Okay, what do you want me to do, son? Imagine, instead of a backbone, you had a wishbone back here. And we got to realize it's God that gives us direction. He gives us guidance. We must listen to the Word of God and stand firm when he calls us to stand firm. And you know what? As you read, you know, what all that has transpired in the scriptures here, what we're reading about Abraham, maybe God just wanted us to really try to understand what would happen if it's the case where someone didn't take a stand for God. You know, someone who knew that they had to do right, but they chose the other path instead. You know, this is what we got to realize in the case of Abraham. You know, he gave in. When the situation got a little heated, he says, okay, I'll just do what my wife says. And you know, for all the trouble Abraham went through to avoid conflict, his weakness as a husband led to nothing but what? More conflict. And I got to tell you, I'm going straight to you guys, sometimes if we don't say anything, I got to tell you, you're going to just create more conflict within your family. We need to speak out. Guys, speak out when you need to. Because you know what? God has called you to be the spiritual head of the household. And we need to speak out when the Lord puts it in our heart to say what we know is right. Because you know what? Sometimes, you know, you say, I don't want to deal with the stress. Oh, I don't want to deal with the hassle. But God says, I'll speak through you. Trust in me. You need to speak what needs to be spoken. Look what it says there in Genesis 16. So what did Abraham do? So Abraham had sexual relations with Hagar. That's a servant girl, right? And she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abraham, this is all your fault. See the wife blaming the husband. This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me. And Abram replied, look, she is your servant, so deal with her as you see fit. Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. And you got to understand, giving into Sarah's demands didn't make her happier. You can see that. She was even more upset. He did what she wanted, but now she's even more upset. In fact, it led to her being even more unhappy, and it created conflict and turmoil in the entire household. And ultimately, it led to Hagar and Ishmael being kicked out of the house. You know, right? That's what happens later on. But you know what? If the truth needed to be told, you know what the greatest problem was? Let's just say it, man. Abraham was afraid of his wife. Look what it says here in Proverbs 29:25. It says, fearing people is a dangerous trap. But trusting the Lord means what?
Safety.
It doesn't matter who you fear. If you are driven by fear, you're making decisions based upon the fear of man. What does it say there? It's a dangerous what?
Trap.
And what does traps do? They ensnare you. It's intended to do harm to you, right? And it says, but trusting the Lord means what?
Safety.
If you know the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you, He's always going to keep you safe. He's never going to allow you to step into something that will harm you. You trust in the Lord, He's always going to make sure you're protected, you're safe. There's a hedge of protection over you as you do the work of God. Amen?
Amen.
And you move in that spirit. You do not fear man. And it was such a case with Paul. You understand, Paul the apostle being such a great, faithful man of God. Even him, there were situations where he got a little scared. He knew certain cities didn't like Christians. But look what it says here in Acts 18. It's in your notes. He says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. What does it say there? Speak out. Don't be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half, teaching the word of God. And you got to realize, the Holy Spirit will speak it into us. Don't be afraid. Come on, speak what needs to be spoken. Don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear prevent you from doing the very work that God has called you to do. Well, look at Roman numeral 3 now. It says here, Abraham's backbone realigned with God's promises. You can write in blank, promises. And we got to realize that, you know what, even though it may seem things may go all in disarray. I mean, there may be times in your life where things just don't work out. You made a wrong decision. You made a bad choice. But yet, God's promises stood true. I have to tell you, I've seen that in my life when, you know, even though I did not obey God, God still let His promises come forth. And I got to tell you, it strengthened me. It kind of made me realize, wow, this is how much my Father God loves me. This is the grace of God. No matter how much we do wrong, God says, I will not stop loving you. I'm going to read to you what it says here in Genesis 17 with the promise that God had given to Abraham. It says here, it's not in your notes, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee, God says, to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Oh, wouldn't you want to be extremely fruitful? And he says, your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. This was the promise of God that He had made to Abraham. And look what it says here in Genesis 21. Okay, it's in your notes. It says, the Lord kept His word and did for Sarah exactly what He had promised. She became pregnant. She gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. And 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God has commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Imagine having a child at 100 years old. Woo! And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. And here's the thing, with God's promises, He will stand true. Because, you know, when God makes a promise, He's going to stick by it. But with His promises, we got to understand, we still got to make a decision for Him. We got to make sure that our backbone is strong and aligned with His word. Just because He has done His part, you know, He let His promises come forth, doesn't mean, okay, now I can just sit back, relax now. Because you know what? God did His part. And you know what? I can just kind of cruise now. No, you stay strong. You make sure your backbone is strong in the Word of God. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 29:11. It says here, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? A hope and a future. And basically, we got to understand God has a direction He wants us to go in our lives. But He never forces it upon you. But you got to realize if we go in the direction that He wants us to go, we can expect that God's best will come forth in our lives. But I got to tell you, if we don't go in that direction, we can't receive what He wants to give us. Very simple. And, you know, just think about this. If God wants to give you His very best, and it could be right here, but you want to go over there, how can you receive the blessings that God wants to give you? Or He may be wanting you to go over there, but you want to stay here. The thing is, you must listen to the Holy Spirit of God. It's His voice that will speak to you. You will know exactly what He wants you to do. Because as you take a stand when He tells you to, you can be assured His best will come. When you take a stand for God, He's pleased. When you take a stand for God, He says, okay, now I'm going to release more of my blessings because I can truly see that my child's heart really belongs to me. And you know what? You're going to only get the best of God. But you got to stay on track. You got to make sure your backbone is aligned with the Word of God. Amen? And that's why it's so important that God tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9. Look what it says here. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord, what? Search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And if you are really committed to God's ways, guess what? You know what He's strengthening? It's like the Holy Spirit just showing this to you. He strengthens your backbone so that your backbone is standing strong. If you're fully committed to Him, He's going to make you even stronger. Because remember, it's a choice we make. But as He sees that you're making these choices for Him, your backbone gets strengthened. You're standing even firmer on the things of God. And you know, God is actively seeking out people who are willing to go all out for Him. He wants people to say, Lord, send me. I'll be the one to go. Lord, tell me what to do. Because you know what? When Jesus gave His Sermon on the Mount, He told the listeners that God expected His people to be what? The light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we got to understand this world. It's in darkness. Think about this. Morality seems like it's just kicked out the door. Everyone's doing whatever they want. Everyone's saying, oh, this is okay. You know, don't be such a fuddy-duddy. You know, everyone thinks it's all right. You know, but we got to say, no, that's not right. According to the Word of God, this is wrong, and I'm not standing for it. We got to move in that spirit. Because you know what? If every Christian just says, okay, I'll just give in. I'll just hush-hush. Just like Abraham, I won't say a word. Guess what? It'll become even darker. And we got to realize God is calling us to take a stand. And you know, the Bible also tells us we are the, what? The salt of the earth. Look what it says in Matthew 5:13. This is what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be what? Thrown out and trampled by men. Just think about this. Have you ever eaten food with no salt? It's hard to eat, yeah? It may look like the most delicious, you know, piece of steak or whatever it is right in front of you. Your mouth is watering, but there's no seasoning, there's no salt. You take a bite of it, right? God calls us to be the salt of the earth. We got to bring taste to this world. We got to show them that we got flavor.
Flavor.
Amen?
Amen.
Because a lot of times I tell you, I talk to especially the younger folk, they say, you know what? I don't know, I want to be a Christian. It's kind of boring. I'm going to live a life like, oh man, I'm going to have no fun. I tell them, man, you don't realize I'm having the time of my life as a Christian. I got joy bubbling out of me. Man, it's the joy of the Lord that fills you when you're doing things His way. When you are living your life that's true to Him, man, you're going to have so much fun. You don't know what you're going to do with yourself. I said, that's what it is. You got to get on board and stay on board, though. The world will say, but we're having so much fun. Come with us. And we got to say, no. I'm having the time of my life with my Father God. That's what we got to realize. We got to stay on board and realize God said, I'm going to make it even better for you because you're doing it my way. And we got to understand we have to choose. We have a direction that God wants for you to go in your life. He's never going to force it upon you. Remember that. We must choose. And if you choose His ways, God says, I will reward you. I will show you who I am. It's because of your love for me, your genuine love for me, I'm going to bless you until your socks are knocked off your feet. This is the promise of God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at Roman numeral 4. It says there, even though God was faithful with His promises, Abraham will still have to face the consequences of his actions. And, you know, sometimes, you know, with this, people may ask me, you know, several questions here. The first may say, you know what, so Pastor, if I make the wrong decisions in my life and I mess up my life, will I actually destroy the plans of God and will God stop loving me? I go, man, have you read the Bible lately? The Bible says, regardless of what you do, God says, I will never stop loving you. God says, my love will never fail you. My love keeps going today. There's no end of time, we know. So God says, my love will keep on going throughout eternity. You trust in me, I'll show you who I am. And God says, I will only bring forth greater and greater blessings if you just stay in my word. If you do the word as you let the word of God just take a hold of your heart, you do it. And God says, I will show you that I'm truly for you. And you know, I got to tell you, I know people who hesitated to become Christians because they're afraid that they're going to mess up. I actually talked to people and said, you know what, Pastor, I don't think I'm ready to be a Christian. I don't know if I can ever become a Christian because you know what, I'm afraid. I messed up so many times in my life that if I mess up, you know what, God may never forgive me. And then that could be the end. And that's it. I said, no. No matter what you do, God says, come just as you are. Just come with your heart, God says. No matter what you've done in your past, no matter all your failures, God says, you come to me. I'll restore you. I'll give you a new heart. I'll show you the way to go. This is the promise of God. And that's why we know when God says, this is my promise, we can believe Him. You know, God, what He says He will do, it will come to what? Come to pass. Well, let's take a look at what God did with Abraham then, because we know he kind of messed up there. But God has specifically told Abraham that he would have a child, right? He told him, he said, yeah, even in your old age, you will have a child. But Abraham refused to stand with God on this matter, and that was wrong. And, you know, here's the thing. I know a lot of times, you know, men will say, but it's my wife's fault. My wife told me to do that. Or, you know, with Adam and Eve, right? What did Adam say? It's the woman! I got to tell you guys, man, don't blame your wife. You got to stand strong. You are the spiritual head. You listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And don't blame anyone else but yourself. Because when we can realize that when we do it God's way, we got to stand strong at all times. And because, you know, Abraham refused to stand with God, I mean, now he has to meet the consequences, right? We got to understand, when we do wrong, when we mess up, there's consequences we're going to have to face in life. But let's look at how God responded to Abraham's failure. Because first of all, we know Sarah said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. And you have to understand, this matter distressed Abraham. Why? Because, hey, that's still his son. Ishmael is still his son. And he had concern for his son, even though he knew he made a mistake, right? He had a heart, love, a father's love for his son Ishmael. But this is what God said to him. Look at it. Genesis 21, 10 to 13. This is what God says to Abraham. It says, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Well, isn't that just like God? He said, "Abraham, you blew it. Yeah, you made a mistake, but you know what? Listen to your wife." You see, God, he's trying to bring peace into the household. But he says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." God says, "I will make your son Ishmael into a nation, because you know what? He is still your child." He says, God says, "Hey, I didn't tell you to do this, but hey, you know what? I still love you. I'm still going to take care of you." And first of all, we got to realize here that God, he didn't reject Abraham. And you know, God had given his word, and God would stand true to his word. And Isaac would be the son of promise. Secondly, what we've got to understand is that God's love for Abraham was so strong that even though Abraham failed, even in his failures, God would make it right. You've got to understand, this is how much God loves us. Even in our failures, God will help you to make it right. And God, remember what I said earlier? God said, "I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring." And you got to understand, Ishmael, he wasn't part of the plan. Ishmael wasn't part of the promise. He wasn't. Ishmael was a son of compromise, and he had no right to receive the blessings of God. But why did God do it? Because of his love, his compassion, his grace, his mercies. And even though Abraham had messed up, God didn't give up. God called Abraham to stand strong. And he loved Abraham that he says, "I'm going to seek to help you to make things right. I'm going to bring forth my very best in your life. You got to stand up again, son. Don't stay down. Get up again." And you see, this is the love of a father. I got to tell you, you know, years ago, when I still lived at home with my parents, I remember my dad and I, we got into a heated argument. And my dad, I got to tell you, he was so frustrated with me. I mean, these were days I was Mr. Rebel. I mean, I was listening to heavy metal music. I was going to these heavy metal concerts, you know, and I was trying to be like this bad boy, you know, that my parents didn't want me to be. But the more they told me about it, the more I wanted to be that bad boy. And I remember I was, you know, in a heated argument with my dad. And you know what he said to me? He says, "You know, Ben, if you weren't my son, I'd have nothing to do with you." And at first I go, but then I go, "Wait a minute.
That's not so bad, is it?" Because what he was really saying to me was that, "Hey, son, I love you." I just died. Hold on, let me grab a mic here. Yes, all right. What he was saying to me was, "Son, I love you. Hey, you're my son, and I'll never stop loving you, and I'm not going to give up on you." And he probably was saying, "Hey, you do try my patience once in a while, Ben, but you're my son." And I got to tell you, I made so many mistakes as a son of my father, Henry Ewan. And you know what? I just look back on those times, because you know, he passed away in 1999. I realized my dad never stopped loving me, even though I just made one mistake after the other. And my dad always had his best in mind for me. He always made sure that I'm taken care of. And my dad never stopped working in my life to make me the best man that I could be. And even when he became sick, you know, when he had a heart disease and he had like two open heart surgeries and he had a stroke also, you know, I can tell you, he always made sure my family was taken care of, you know. And even with his passing, you know, I mean, he made sure my mom was taken care of financially. And I just think about this legacy that my dad had left with me and my family, it's going to remain forever in my heart, because I knew his love was so genuine, so real, that he will never stop loving me. And I praise God that he made a decision for Christ, you know, like several months before his passing. And I know one day I'm going to see him again. I can't wait to jump right into his arms and say, Dad, thank you for being so patient with me. That I was a rotten kid, but you love me regardless. And you see, I want you to understand, that's how God is with us, isn't he? That when we become his children, he seeks every opportunity to show us, hey, I love you, child. I'm never going to stop loving you. He seeks every opportunity to make our lives better. And he seeks every opportunity to take the mistakes that we make in our lives and come beside us and say, you know what, I'm going to help you through it. You're my son, and I love you so much. That's what our Father God does. And even when we do fail him, even though we may have lack of faith, the Bible tells us God will never fail us. His love just keeps on going. And yes, even those times when we have no backbone for him, God forgives us. God says, let's carry on. Let's carry on, son. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are unfaithful, what does it say there? That he's going to be unfaithful too? No, it says here, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. You got to understand, he can't deny the very fact that, you know, he made all these promises. He has called himself our provider. He has called himself the God who sustains. He calls himself Abba Father. I mean, to really think about what Abba Father means, it's the intimacy of a child with his daddy. And that's what God tells us to call him. Daddy God. Abba Father. And we realize that his love will just remain. He will always be faithful to us. Because, you know, with God's unfailing love and fulfillment of his promises, you know, Abraham realized, you know, even though I messed up, God, my Father God, never stops loving me. And his backbone became solid. I mean, he stood strong because he realized, wow, my Father God loves me that much. I'm going to do as he tells me. And I have to tell you one thing, though, because I see it in my own life when those times, right, when I knew I kind of backslided and I was kind of drifting away, God's promises still stood strong. God still showed me he loved me. But you know what? I realized that we still got to make that effort to keep our backbone strong, because, you know, sometimes we can start drifting. Okay, God's taking care of me, even though I'm making mistakes. You know what? We got to fight even stronger. Because you know what? God will put you to the test. Because, yeah, he did his part, but now he's going to put you to the test. Because it seems like your backbone is strong, but now he's going to really see if your heart is equally strong. That if your heart really belongs to him. And, you know, with the case of Abraham, you knew that with him, the ultimate test would come. And you know what he had to do with his son Isaac, right? God had called him to sacrifice his beloved son. Now, the very one that God had given to him. But if you read the scripture, somehow you knew even before they reached the mountain with their servants, you know, Abraham was willing to take that ultimate stand for God. Because he knew of his Father God's great love for him. Look what it says here in Genesis 22:5. It says here, stay here with the donkey. This is Abraham talking to his servants. He says, stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there. And look what it says next. And then we will come right back. See that? Why is that significant? Because you know what? He had in his mind, he's going to sacrifice his son. Yeah, he told his servants, hey, we're still going to come back, both of us. In other words, Abraham knew no matter what I did, if I had to sacrifice my son, you know, God, I trust him with all my heart. If he tells me to do it, I know he's going to take care of me. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen next. If God's going to raise him back, he's going to do it. You got to understand, this is what faith is all about. True faith. To believe that God, he will always make sure you're taken care of. He's never going to leave you in a situation where you're hanging, where you're in despair. And we know what happens next, right? As Abraham was ready to plunge that knife into his son, the angel of the Lord says, don't lay a hand on that boy. Do not hurt him in any way, for I know that you truly what? Fear God. And because of what he did, his reward was great. And God may be trying to really see if your heart and your backbone is true. Are you really faithful? He may put you to the test. You must stand strong, brothers and sisters, because you know, when we can really show God that, Lord, whatever you ask, Lord, I'm standing strong for you, we're going to be shining brightly for God. People around us will say, truly, your God is real. Because so many times I've heard people say, you know what, I realized that God's love must be so real because they read about people that were willing to sacrifice their own lives for the word of God. And they go, wow, God must be real. And we're going to be shining brightly for God. And just in the case, just like Job, look what it says there in Job 23:10-11. Look what Job says. And I'm sure this was also the heart of Abraham. He says here, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as what?
Gold.
As gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept his way without what?
Turning
aside. And we got to realize he's come forth as gold. Job has come forth as gold. Remember at the end of all the tests, all the things that he went through? Abraham, he came forth as gold. But you know what? What I really pictured was the very fact when we're able to take these stands for God, man, I can just see how our backbone is just being strengthened. That our backbone becomes solid gold. Because you know what? Gold is one of the hardest metals in this planet, right? And not only is it solid, is it so hard and firm. You know, when we have a backbone of gold, a heart that is brightly shining for God, that's when we know we're going to stand strong for the things of God. And you got to also understand, when we have this backbone of gold, we got to also understand and realize that gold is such a precious metal. It's beautiful, isn't it? And when we can say, Lord, my life is fully yours. Lord, have your way. You know what? He makes us beautiful on the inside. Not only are we strong with our backbone, we're beautiful on the inside. He has made our heart exactly what he wants it to be. And I want to conclude by showing you this video. And it's one of my favorite videos. It's a song sung by this Christian group called Gangar. And it's called He Makes Things Beautiful. Benson, can you go and play that video?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. Not reaching you. But we gotta make a decision. We gotta realize it's a choice we make. If we're willing to stand for the things of God, we're having a backbone that we know is made of solid gold for God. And we have a heart that is true, that's willing to say, Lord, whatever you ask. Lord, I love you so much. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'm going to live according to your word. If you truly realize that as God comes forth with his presence, his power, he says, I'm going to fill you up. If you live a life that's true to me, we say, yes, Lord. We say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all out for you. God says, I'm going to strengthen you even more now. Because, you know, there's going to come a day we're going to stand before Jesus. And we know when that day comes, he's going to welcome us into his kingdom for eternity. And just imagine, all of us, we're going to be shining like gold. More precious than gold, actually. Because, you know, the Bible says we're precious in the sight of the Lord. And if you do the right thing, you choose the right path God has for you. Nothing but greater and greater blessings. You will come forth as gold. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father God, as your word tells us, Lord, that truly we are so deeply valued by you. And your word tells us we are lavished. We are lavished with your love. And Father, we know we can always be certain, Lord, that your love will never fail us. Your love will never stop, because your love will keep flowing into us as we keep on living a life that is true to you, that you will never let us go. Regardless of what we do, your love remains. I pray, Father, that all my brothers and sisters here, as they have heard your word today, they will truly make a decision to live a life 100% all out for you. And with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying right now, Pastor Ben, I realize with the word that was spoken today, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to live all out for God. That I'm going to give him all of my heart. I'm going to give him my mind. So as the word says, I will have the mind of Christ. I will see to it that my life is holy and pure and true unto God. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, I surrender all of me unto you. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Lord, you got it. You have my heart. You have my life. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep your hands up. Say, Lord, that's me. Lord, my heart is all yours. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But most importantly than anything is the hearts behind those hands that say, Lord, I want to have a heart that is holy and pure unto you. Lord, help me to become the person you want me to be. I know I can't do it on my own, but you said that you will help me. You will fight for me. Because, you know, even the scriptures tells us that Jesus is praying for all the believers. He's praying that we stay strong in faith. That we truly have a backbone that is standing firm at all times for God. Father, will you just let your Holy Spirit just fall afresh upon your children right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let your sweet presence just flow into this room right now. Just fill the hearts of your children. If there's any void, Father, I pray that you will fill it right now. In Jesus' name. Just let your love, your peace, your joy just flow. Let it flow, Father. It's only you can bring it. Let it flow, Father. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We truly know we are standing on holy ground right now. We praise you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people telling me that I can have a relationship with my Father God, with his Son Jesus Christ. But what must I do? How do I get started? Well, you know what? You can start off by praying a simple prayer. But, you know, just simply saying this prayer won't get you saved.
You got to realize when you say this prayer, you got to mean it from your heart. Don't let it be just mere words. If you are ready to give your life to Jesus, as you are led in this prayer, let your heart say to God, Lord, I'm all yours. Have your way in my life. Show it to Him that you are serious, that you want to surrender all to Him. And if you're ready, know that the Holy Spirit is always tugging at your heart. If you don't know Jesus yet, He's tugging at your heart because He loves you so much. And the Bible says, if you deny God, He will deny you. But if you receive Him today, He will welcome you into His family. He will lavish you with His love. And if you are ready to say yes, you never made a decision for Christ, but you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to come on. Lord, I want to give all of my life to you because I know, Lord, you have your best in mind for me. And if you are wanting to say yes to Jesus this very day, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Can you raise your hand right now and say, yes, Lord, I give you my life. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, yes, Lord, all of me unto you. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Why don't you pray this prayer after me? Like I said, mean it from your heart. We'll pray together as a family, even though you have accepted Christ. Let's just pray this prayer together as a family. It's reciting what we believe about our Lord Jesus Christ. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God,
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again, and He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's give glory.